नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो। हरे कृष्ण। ओके सो यस गोइंग टू स्टडी चैप्टर 13 टुडे। टू थर्ड ऑफ योर फर्स्ट कैंटो इज ओवर राइट। द थर्ड वॉल्यूम पार्ट 3 ऑफ द फर्स्ट कैंटो बिगिनिंग चैप्टर इज 13th। द टू थर्ड इज ओवर राइट। अनदर so within a month first canto will get over right. You started the fourth May. So by the end of the May almost, or before at least 4 June, so within a month the first canto will be completed right, which usually takes at least 1 or 2 years, you know. for the people, they start first canto, it takes a year or two many times in the normal reading course. Yeah, that too. It's sometimes the person starts and continues, after 2 years he realizes he's not understood much, so he again starts first canto, you know. It also happens. Okay, so chapter 13, Dhritarashtra quits home. सूत उवाच विदुरस्तीर्थयात्रायां मैत्रेयादात्मनो गतिं ज्ञात्वागादहस्तिनापुरम् तया वाप्तविवित्सिता।
Sut Goswami, Sishut Goswami said, while travelling on a pilgrimage, Vidura received knowledge of the destination of the self from the great sage Maitreya and then returned to Hastinapur. He became as well versed in the subject as he desired.
Om Gyanat Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasme Shri Guruve Namaha. Okay, so if you see, Suta Goswami is answering different questions which were asked by the sages. They had asked about the birth of Maharaj Parikshit, right? The sages, which Suta Goswami answered in the last chapter. Now he wants to describe the activities of Maharaj Parikshit, right? His coronation and how he ruled. But before that, in order to describe that, he has to first describe the departure of Dhritarashtra. So the arrival of Vidura and the departure of Dhritarashtra. Then arrival of Arjuna and departure of Pandavas. Then Maharaj Parikshit actually becomes the emperor and then he rules. Right? So there are few sequences to be described before he can answer the next question about Maharaj Parikshit coronation and his activities, right? So these three chapters describe that, 13, 14, 15, you know, that how Vidura came and Dhritarashtra departed, then the next time how Arjuna came and all the Pandavas also departed. Then Maharaj Parikshit's governance will be described. Okay, so then this verse is saying that how Vidura had achieved the knowledge of self-realization, Atmanogatim, and then he came returned to Hastinapur after that. So Prabhupada in the purport, he mainly describes about Vidura, how Vidura was actually, Vidura is actually Yamaraj, but by the curse of Manduk Muni, right, he has become Vidura, he took birth as a Shudra. So go to text 2. Yes. Yeah, where is I? The first sentence? Yeah. Okay, anyway. Yeah, Yamaraj prescribes is written. Which line are you referring? I still didn't get. Okay, so the king personally begged the Muni's pardon for the mistake of his men, and the saint at once went to Yamaraj, who prescribes the destiny of the living beings. Right. Well, for all the sinful living entities in general, those who are within his jurisdiction, you know, he's like a judge who gives the judgment, right? So the judge will give judgment to a certain living entities who are within his jurisdiction itself, right? Yeah, both pious and impious. Yeah, so we have to reconcile. You're saying how the material nature is also working, right? That could be the judgment is that he is put in this situation now, and then the material nature works, right? Yeah, but in this case he says that the Yamaraj. Well, as I said, the detailed working we have to see. It's not always easy to find out how the detail, the law of karma works, you know, what exactly is done and then. But broadly we understand that how, say, the Yamaraj gives a judgment and the living entity is placed in a particular situation. The living entity is like a prisoner. So the Yamaraj may send to a different prison cell, right, to enjoy or suffer or whatever. Some prison could be a better prison, you know. There are in USA, Krishna Prabhu was describing, there are some prisons which are spread over thousands of acres, and some prisoners have their own individual rooms with television in the US prisons, you know. They have their individual rooms, well furnished, the television, and there is very picture skew over thousands of acres, very nicely landscaped. There may be better gardens than what we have in GV in the prisons of USA, right? So there are very well maintained and furnished and prisons also. So Yamaraj sends the living entity to a particular prison, and then the Maya is like a jailer of the prison, you know. Then she inflicts various miseries over the living entities, you know. But the judgment is taken by Yamaraj, where is the next destination of the living being, yeah? So now the detailed of it, as I said, the details exactly how much judgment Yamaraj gives and how the jurisdiction, the power jurisdiction between Yamaraj and the material nature, right? So that sometimes is not very very clear, you know, whether each thing is done by Yamaraj, right? So that is also not, as I said, not very clear then. Yeah. Garuda Purana also mentions certain details. Garuda Purana, that for which kind of sin, what kind of punishment is given. In general, you know, Garuda Purana, people read at the time of someone's passing away. and it describes in detail what kind of sin, what punishment is awarded, right? But then there are so many permutation and combination possible. That is just the general idea given over there. Right? Some idea is given. Yeah.
But here specifically the principle, because
here is a specific reference that he asked Yamaraj that why he has been put in this particular situation, right? So there are some particular activities which may bring about a particular reaction, right? Which is then known to Yamaraj, right? So like that. So I said very difficult to figure out exactly. Here he could, you know, he asked Yamaraj and Yamaraj informed him this is the sin and this is how this is the punishment which has been you got for this particular kind of sin. But it's not always so, because there are so many permutation combinations of, you know, activities, right? So a Garuda Purana says for this you get this, for this you get this, but sometime for many cumulative you may get a, you know, there may be good many. It's not always one-to-one mapping always possible, you know. This is very complicated, this laws of karma. So it's not that for every action there is a reaction, but there could be a cumulative reaction for many activities. Like that is also possible. Fine. So, but Yamaraj is aware at least of what all, you know, the sinful activities the living entity has performed and why he is suffering. So here he is told one-to-one mapping, but that may not always be possible. That's what I'm saying. It may not be that straightforward also. But overall, the management system we are discussing, that Yamaraj passed the judgment and then the material nature punishes. Yeah. Okay, we go to text 2. Yavata kritavan prashnan shatta kaushara ag shatta kaushara kaushara vagrata jatek bhaktir govinde tebhyascho pararamaha.
Various questions and becoming established in the transcendental loving service of the Lord Krishna, Vidura retired from putting questions to Maitreya Muni.
Okay, so Vishwanatha Thakur says that he gave up questioning means he did not have any more desire to hear further, because all other questions are useless once bhakti has appeared. Right? Very nicely he puts up Vishwanatha Thakur, right? So he said he finally stopped asking any further questions, because because the bhakti had appeared then at that time, right? The path of devotional service has been revealed. So, so the point here is that all one's questions will be answered when the path of devotional service becomes clear, you know. Just like the example is given of Tapan Mishra, you know, he had read many scriptures, he had so many, he could not figure out what is the goal of life, right? So he had many questions which he had asked many pandits. But finally when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed him devotional service, then all his questions are answered, right? Then there are no more questions. After the path of devotional service is revealed, then a person becomes fully satisfied, right? There is a beautiful verse in by Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur wherein he says, Stri putra adikatham jahur vishayina shastra prabha pravadam buddha He said, now that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has revealed the splendor of pure devotional service, the materialistic people have stopped talking about women and children. Stri putra adi katham jahur, they have stopped those talks. Right? And Shastra Pravadam Buddha, right? The learned scholars have given up the debates on the merits of various useless paths. Right? So very nicely it is put in. That they give up, right? Now that the path of devotional service has become clear, so the scholar, now they have given up the useless, the debates on the merits of various useless paths of self-realization. Right? So all their questions have been answered when the path of devotion service is revealed. Right? That's quite nice understanding over herein. So Prabhupada says in the beginning of the purport, Vidura retired from putting questions before Maitreya Muni when he was convinced by Maitreya Rishi that the summum bonum of life is to be finally situated in the transcendental loving service of Lord Sri Krishna. Right? And then Prabhupada says that how, like Vidura, everyone should approach a bona fide spiritual master, and after receiving knowledge of various paths, finally he should receive the knowledge of pure devotional service. Right? And then he will be fully satisfied. Okay, so we go to text 3 and 4. Tam bandhum agatam drishtva dharmaputra sahanuja nidrashtro yuyutsuscha sutas saradvata pritha gandhari draupadi brahman Subhadra Chautara Kripi Anyasya Jamaya Pandur Gyataya Sasutastriya.
When they saw Vidura return to the palace, all the inhabitants, Maharaj Yudhishthir, his younger brothers Dhritarashtra, Satyaki, Sanjay, Kripacharya, Kunti, Gandhari, Draupadi, Subhadra, Uttara, Kripi, many others, wives of the Kauravas and other ladies with children, all hurried to him in great delight. It so appeared that they had regained their consciousness after a long period.
Okay, so all these prominent members of the Kuru family, they all hurry to receive Vidura in great delight, right? So it's mentioned that it appeared that how that they had regained their consciousness for a long period. That is given actually in text 5. It is in this 3 and 4 it just mentioned that all of them were just delighted to see him. And Prabhupada just gives a brief description of some of the characters, right, in Mahabharata. So about Gandhari, Prabhupada says, just briefly, he says the ideal chaste lady in the history of the world. Actually, Prabhupada has glorified Gandhari a lot in this chapter at number of places. Right? Just is the ideal chaste lady in the history of the world. And how she voluntarily accepted blindness, right? And then Prabhupada said somewhere in the 10th or 11th line of the purport, she was the most beautiful girl of her time, and she was equally qualified by her womanly qualities. But despite all her good qualities, she had the natural frailties of a woman, and she was envious of Kunti. And again, towards the end of the paragraph, Prabhupada says, she was affected when all her sons died in the battle of Kurukshetra, and she wanted to curse Bhimsen and Yudhishthir, but she was checked by Vyasadeva. her mourning over the death of Duryodhan and Dushasan before Lord Krishna was very pitiful, and Lord Krishna pacified her by transcendental messages. And this is all part of Mahabharata. And Gandhari was also pacified by Srila Vyasadeva when he showed her dead sons then promoted to heavenly kingdoms. Right? So you see that every, you will find that how in Mahabharata especially you will see that there is a good quality mentioned, but then there are many weaknesses also mentioned. Right? So every character you will find like that only, you know. That a person has some good qualities, but then he has the weaknesses also. Right? Especially in Mahabharata, you will find like that. Right? Srimad Bhagavatam prominently glorifies personality who are pure devotees. Right? You don't see that kind of description. If you read Mahabharata in detail, you'll find it strikingly different from Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? Find it strikingly different from Srimad Bhagavatam, because every person mentioned will have certain good qualities and which is glorified, but then suddenly you'll say, my God, you know, there are many weaknesses also. So that's how every mortal in this world is. Right? It's like that. And then Prabhupada discussed about Pritha, Draupadi and Subhadra, right? You can read yourself the brief descriptions that Prabhupada gives. Text 5. Pratyujagmu praharshena pranam tanva ivagatam Abhisangam Mehavidivat Parisvanga Vivandane.
With great delight, they all approached him as if life had returned to their bodies. They exchanged obeisances and welcomed each other with embraces.
Right, so, Pranam Tanva Ivagatam. So, this comparison shows and how dear Vidurji was to all these Kauravas, right? Just like the senses come back to life when the consciousness returns, that example is given. So Prabhupada says, in the purport, in the absence of consciousness, the limbs of the body remain inactive. But when consciousness returns, the limb and the senses become active and existence itself become delightful. Vidura was so dear to the member of the Kaurava family that his long absence from the palace was comparable to inactivity. All of them were feeling acute separation from Vidura, and therefore his return to the palace was joyful for all. Right? So Vidura being a repository of so many good qualities was dear to all. Right? So dear to all that this comparison has been given.
Mumuchu prema bashpogam virha otkanta katara rajatam arreham chakre kritasan parigraham.
Anxieties and long separation, they all cried out of affection. King Yudhishthira then arranged to offer sitting accommodations and receptions.
Okay, so they just not came joyfully to receive, but Mumuchu Prema Bashpogam, right? That there were tears of affection. Virha Otkanthya Katara, right? In separation, and in great anxiety, there was right. They due to anxiety and due to separation, they all cried out these tears of affection. Right? And then Maharaj Yudhishthir finally he arranged sitting place and a good reception for Vidurji. So text 5th and 6th shows the how much loved boss Vidurji by all, right? Because of his good qualities. Yes. No, see, again, one word can have so many connotations. Here is prema means affection. Here may not be the prema of the stages of bhakti and that prema. So here prema, and that each word Sanskrit has many connotations. So in this context, it's their great affection for him. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, he's a great devotee, but then he's their uncle also. Here he was their uncle and he was a great devotee. He was a very gentle personality and a family member of them. So they had this great affection for him. Right? So here it is not connotes that high prema. It is just their great affection for he being their part of their family member and he being a selfless, non-envious person, you know. Those qualities endeared him to everybody. His natural good qualities endeared him to everyone actually. Not just he was dear to even all the person mentioned, not just Pandavas, you know, and the Yudhishthir and Gandhari, all of them. Right? So many names are mentioned. So everyone he was dear to, Vidura. Okay, we go to text 7. Tam bhuktavantam vishrantam asinam sukham asane prashryavanato raja prahate sham jashinvatam.
Vidura ate sumptuously and took sufficient rest. He was comfortably seated. Then the king began to speak to him and all who were present, they listened.
Okay, so he was fed nicely and allowed to take rest and then they started conversing. So Prabhupada says, King Yudhishthir was expert in reception also, even in the case of his family members. And in the middle of the purport, that is a proper way to receive a beloved friend. Or even an enemy, Prabhupada is saying. According to Indian moral codes, even an enemy received at home should be so well received that he will not feel any fearful situation. An enemy is always afraid of his enemy, but this should not be so when he is received at home by his enemy. This means that a person who, when received at home, should be treated as a relative. So what to speak of family member like Vidura? Right? So Prabhupada is giving something from the culture, you know, people would have you know, separation. They knew that his enemy in the battlefield, you know, if the enemy comes to your house for something, you know, then he is received well. He is treated as a atithi, guest or a relative. That's quite amazing actually, you know, sometimes many times we all have to learn it, you know. Sometimes what happens, we have a disagreement between each other in a managerial position, you know, when we try to manage, we have a disagreement with each other. There may be some conflict in the devotees, you know, you may experience in the future some departmental conflict. But then when we are in the ashram together in the temple hall, that actually conflict should not be there, you know. But it continues to prevail, you know. Person doesn't look towards him, he doesn't look towards, they don't want to dance together, you know. It happened so many times, you know. He said, so therefore, one should know that all was just the managerial level, different thing. But when we are in front of the Lord, we are just God brothers, you know. You just see that how the culture training, you know. See, the different training altogether. So we just take one thing and we bring it to everywhere. You know, he said, you know, he didn't liked my idea in the meeting. So abhi main usse baat hi nahi karunga, sirf dekhunga hi nahi, you know. So we many times we mix up everything, you know. So we have to learn something from here, something important, you know. That there may be difference, there may be some conflict at a managerial level, but when we are in the temple hall, we are just devotees, you know. Then we hear and chant together, we dance together like that. Right? Text it. Yudhishthir uvacha abhismaratano yushmat pakshachaya sameditan vipadganad vishagnadir mochita yat samatraka.
Maharaj Yudhishthir said, "My uncle, do you remember how you always protected us along with our mother from all sorts of calamities? Your partiality, like the wings of the bird, saved us from poisoning and arson."
So Maharaj Yudhishthir, he's recollecting, right, that you have been always protective of us, right? Api smartano yushmat paksha chaya samed. You have been just like protective, just like a mother bird protects her offspring by her own wings, you know, the wings of the bird. So Maharaj is remembering that you protected us from vipad ganas, from various miseries. Visha agna adir, vish and agni, there was the poison was fed and there was a fire, right, adir, etc. Mochita yat sa matraka, just like a mother, right, you are very protective of us. Maharaj Yudhishthir is recollecting that, his affection, and expressing his own gratitude towards Vidurji, right. So Prabhupada says, due to Pandu's death at an early age, his minor children and widow were the objects of special care by all the elderly members of the family, especially Bhishma Dev and Mahatma Vidur. Vidur was more or less partial to the Pandavas due to their political position, right? Because they were fatherless and they were always being intrigued by the Kauravas. So then in the middle of the first paragraph, Prabhupada says, he, refers to Vidurji, was therefore very careful about the protection of the Pandavas and their widow mother. Thus he was, so to speak, partial to the Pandavas, preferring them to the sons of Dhritarashtra, although both of them were equally affectionate in his ordinary eyes. He was equally affectionate to both the camps of nephews in the sense that he always chastised Duryodhana for his intriguing policy against his cousins. Right? So Prabhupada nicely said, he was equally affectionate to both the parties by chastising Duryodhana and party, and by giving protection to Vidur and the other Pandavas. Right? So see, this shows the devotee's equality in terms of his being a well-wisher of all, you know. So he was chastising Duryodhana and party always, and he was always giving good advice to Dhritarashtra also, right, without compromising. And he was trying to protect, right, Yudhishthir and all the Pandavas and their mother. It showed that how he was actually wishing well to both the parties, therefore the equal. Otherwise, ordinary eyes, Prabhupada is saying, the ordinary eyes, it looked like a partiality. But otherwise, as a devotee, being a well-wisher of all, he was equally affectionate, right? In terms of chastising Duryodhana and protecting Pandava, that is his equality, because he is wishing well to both. Right? This is a very nice understanding given by Prabhupada over here. Guru text 9. Kaya vrittya vartitam vash, Charadbhishiti Mandalam Tirthani Shetra Mukhyani Sevitani Habhutale.
While travelling on the surface of the earth, how did you maintain your livelihood? At which holy place and pilgrimage sites did you render service?
Okay, so Maharaj Yudhishthira, that you were travelling on the earth, where would you stay, what would you have as your meals, which holy places you visited, how did you render various services, right? So all these questions are being asked by Yudhishthira Maharaj. And Prabhupada says, in holy places of India like Vrindavan, Haridwar, Jagannath Puri and Prayag, there are many great devotees. This is the last 4 or 5 lines of the purport. There are many great devotees and there are still free kitchen houses for persons who desire to advance spiritually. Maharaj Yudhishthir was inquisitive to learn whether Vidura maintained himself by the mercy of free kitchen houses, chhatras. You know, Raghunath Das Goswami would go to chhatra. After he left the Simhadwar, he would just go to chhatra and beg something. Mahaprabhu said, very good. You know, he said, just go, take something, fill the belly and throughout the day, one hear and chant about Krishna, right? And there is no other talk with anybody else, kind of. So the chhatras are mentioned. Still in India there are so many places, holy places, where there are free prasadam distribution. The biggest chhatra in India, or probably, at least in India, is Amritsar, you know, where once we had some parathas left over in the train and we thought we'll give somebody on the station. We didn't find a single beggar on the entire railway station of Amritsar. Then we asked somebody, I said, no beggars. He said, oh, there is a hot prasadam available all the time. Who will take your stale parathas, you know? One person told us. Then we realized, you know, they serve hot prasadam almost throughout the day. So anyone can just go and have hot prasadam and maintain himself. Ultimately to go cultivate the higher goal of life, that's basically. So there are so many holy places. In Chitrakoot we were there, then Raghunath Mandir, afternoon 11 o'clock, 11 to 12, any sadhu can come and they feed any sadhu. So there are so many places, so many different places. They have free prasadam. And Maharaj said that the sadhus know where all it is free, so sometimes they go to different places, you know, they know which day, which place the nice prasadam is. Maharaj was once mentioning, you know. Anyway, this concept of chhatra is still there in India, you know. Still something which you are reading still exists. Text 10. Bhavadvida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantastena Gadabhrita.
My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart and you turn all places into places of pilgrimage.
Okay, this is one of the very, very important verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhavadvida Bhagavatam. How many of you already have memorized this verse? You have this verse in your recitations? You are reciting nowadays? How many of you already memorized this verse? Okay, maybe we can recite few times. Try to memorize this verse. Bhavad means your good self. Okay, Bhavadvida, people like your good selves, right? Bhagavatas or Bhavad, the Bhagavatas like yourself, Bhavadvida Bhagavatas, right? Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibhu, they are themselves the holy places of pilgrimage, right? Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani, in fact, you turn holy places the holy, you turn the places of pilgrimage into holy places. You make them the Tirthasthan actually. Right? Because of presence like you, that place is known as Tirtha. Why? So antasthen gadha britha. Because within your heart, the Lord, right, gadha britha, gadha agraja, Lord Krishna, right, the brother of gadha, who was the brother of Lord Krishna, he is situated. So the Supreme Lord is situated within your heart, right. Bhavadvida Bhagavatas, devotees like your good self, Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho, right? You yourself are like a holy place of pilgrimage. In fact, Tirthani, Tirthi Gurvanti Tirthani, you turn the holy places into holy places. Because the law says, so antasthen, within your heart is Supreme Lord, who is known as Gadabhrita. Right? Very beautiful verse. Bhavadvida Bhagavatas. Okay, some of you can recite by looking at the verse. Bhavadvida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantasena Gadabhrita Bhavadvida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantasena Gada. So while someone is reciting, you try to find out within your mind what is the next verse, what is the next line. Right? You recite the second line, what is the third line. Third line while being recited and just coming to end, try to recollect what is the fourth line. Right? So someone can recite. Bhavadvida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantasthena Gadabhrita. Yes, try without seeing now the verse. Someone, without looking at the verse. Someone wants to make a try. Bhavadvida Bhagavata Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Santasena Gadabhita. Yes, good. Someone else? Without looking. Bhavadvida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Santasena Gadabhita. Yes, lastly, third recitation. Bhavadvida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantasena Gada. Okay, good. So, try to memorize this verse. So, very nice understanding. So, when anyone goes to pilgrimage, right, we say, oh, you are very fortunate. Aap bahut dhanne hain. Aap tirth yatra karke aaye. But Yudhishthir Maharaj keh rahe hain, are wo tirth bahut dhanne ho gaye jahan aap jaake aa gaye. So, he is giving a very different understanding. He said, oh, bahut, he said, fortunate are those places which received you, right? That kind of understanding Maharaj Yudhishthir is given. So, Prabhupada is saying, 6th or 7th line, the holy places all over the earth are meant for purifying the polluted consciousness of human being by an atmosphere surcharged with the presence of the Lord's unalloyed devotees. See, again, Prabhupada is saying that because they have the purifying power, because there are unalloyed devotees staying there or frequently visiting there. The personality of Godhead, this is again the middle of the purport. The personality of Godhead is always with such pure devotees because of their unalloyed service. they are in the actual service of the Lord specifically by the process of hearing and chanting. The last few lines, so by their actions the pure devotees of the Lord can render any place into a place of pilgrimage, and the holy places are worth the name only on their account. Right? That's quite Prabhupada is making emphatically, Prabhupada is saying the holy places are worth the name only on their account. Right? So that means this is one of the main one of the most important aspects of visiting holy places, that in holy places you find holy people. When Nityananda Prabhu was traveling, Nityananda Prabhu went to so many places of pilgrimage, right? And while on his pilgrimage, he had met Srila Madhavendra Puri, it is described. Nityananda Prabhu had met Srila Madhavendra Puri. So Nityananda Prabhu said that today I obtained result of my long pilgrimage, Nityananda Prabhu said. Today I have obtained the fruit of my my long pilgrimage, right? He had been to so many holy places, but he said, today my whole pilgrimage has become successful by meeting you, right? Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered his trip to Gaya successfully, right? That it has been successful by meeting Srila Ishwar Puri, right? And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Jagannath Puri after his pilgrimage, he told Sarvam Bhattacharya that I went to so many holy places of pilgrimage, I didn't meet a single Vaishnava like yourself, he said. But he said, however, Ramananda Rai gave me a lot of happiness. He said, however, the one person I met, that was Ramananda Rai. So that was the highlight of his Mahaprabhu's pilgrimage. And this is the one full chapter is dedicated to his discussion. Mahaprabhu discussion with Ramananda Rai. So that was the highlight of his pilgrimage, right? He met a pure devotee of the Lord, right? So like that. So this fact is always there, right? This is one of the most important factor in going to the holy place, that one seeks the association of holy people. Okay, we go to text 11.
अपीना सुहृदस्तात माधवा कृष्ण देवता कृष्टाशुता वायद्वा सौपुर्यां सुखमासते.
माय अंकल, यू मस्ट हैव विजिट द्वारका. इन दैट होली प्लेस आर आवर फ्रेंड एंड वेल विशर द डिसेंडेंट ऑफ यदु हु आर ऑलवेज रैप्ड इन द सर्विस ऑफ द लॉर्ड कृष्णा. You might have been seen them or heard about them. Are they all living happily in their evers?
Okay, so you see, Maharaj asked that you must have visited Dwarka also. Right? In that there are our family friends, Yadus, who are wrapped in the service of Lord Krishna. So are they all well also? Maharaj inquired about their well-being also, right? You know, so Prabhupada translates Krishna Devata as those who are always wrapped in the service of Lord Krishna, right? And Prabhupada also says the particular word in the purport, Krishna Devata, that means those who are always wrapped in the service of Lord Krishna is significant, right? So you know, it's that Prabhupada purports are there, but sometime Prabhupada gives purport in his translations, and sometimes you will see Prabhupada's purport even in word-to-word meaning. You know, Shyamananda Prabhu was sharing this. He said that you read everything very carefully, you will find Prabhupada's purports everywhere, not just in the purport itself, which are there anyway, his brilliant insights, but in the translations, in the word-to-word meaning, you will find Prabhupada's purports. Right? Just like the word Krishna Devata in general means Krishna the worshipable deity. Right? But even in the word-to-word meaning, Prabhupada says, those who are always wrapped in the service of Lord Krishna. you know. So there is a purport in the word to word meaning also. Right? And then Prabhupada explained there is one word, there is one apavargavartmani, right? That tatte nukampa verse ends with the word apavargavartmani. No, this is satam prasanga, another verse. Satam prasangan mama varide samvido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana katha tad joshnag asu apavargavartmani. How apavargavartmani means, the literal meaning is the path of liberation, apavargavartmani. But Prabhupada translates that as word to word meaning the way of transcendental experience. You know, so it's very amazing that how Prabhupada gives his purpose even in the meaning, you know, word to word meaning. So you'll find Prabhupada's brilliant purpose everywhere. So therefore, Shyamananda Prabhu sharing that Brahmananda Prabhu says, you read everything very carefully, right? Everywhere you'll find Prabhupada's purpose. So here also we see Prabhupada's purpose even in the word to word meaning, in the present word under discussion. Yes. Sorry. See, these, especially now we are studying first canto, that is all done by Prabhupada in India only, without the help of anybody. Right? And then, yeah, as things proceeded, Prabhupada started dictating only, and he would just check it, as you said, for most part of it, right? But then Prabhupada would sometime describe a particular word in the, as Prabhupada is describing in the purport also, you see, the particular word Krishna Devata is that is those who are always wrapped. So then the word to word meaning also, you know, could be taken from Prabhupada's own purport to it. So at certain places Prabhupada may give, you know, the word-to-word meaning and translation. And other times his Sanskrit editors may do that, and Prabhupada give purport. Especially toward the end of it, when Prabhupada... But in the beginning, Prabhupada would give all that. In the first canto, it's all done by Prabhupada in India, all by himself. Right? Like that. Bhagavad Gita also. Like that. And you see, even if the Prabhupada disciples are giving, they are also hearing from Prabhupada, being trained by Prabhupada, you know. So in that sense, they are also reflecting upon the mood of Prabhupada, you know. Just like even the purport of 11th canto and all that, so many places they have taken from Prabhupada's talks, purports from other books, conversations, etc., you know. Even though given by the disciples, but then these disciples are also representing Prabhupada also, right? So we see that from that point of view also. Okay, so yeah, so Prabhupada said in the purport over here, the fifth line, Vidura left home in order to devote himself completely to the service of the Lord. But the Pandavas and Yadavas were always wrapped in the thoughts of Lord Krishna. Thus, there is no difference in their pure devotional qualities. And Prabhupada says, Mahajishtar was also wrapped in the thoughts of Lord Krishna and his associates at Dwarka. Otherwise, he could not have asked all about them from Vidura. So basically, he is saying that Mahajishtar is wrapped in the service of Lord Krishna. The Yadavas were wrapped in the service of Lord Krishna, and so Vidur was wrapped. So the person who is questioning, and the person who is going to answer, and the person about whom the inquiry has been made, all three parties, they were all wrapped in the service of Lord Krishna. Okay. Text 12. Iti yukto dharma rajena sarvam tat samavarnayat यथानुभूतं क्रमशो विना यदुकुलं क्षयम्
being questioned by Maharaj Yudhishthira, Mahatma Vidura gradually described everything he had personally experienced, except news of the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty.
Okay, so he gave all the news vina, right? He didn't give the news of annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. Okay, so why didn't he give that news is explained in text 13. Nanvapriyam durvisahyam durvisah ninam swayam upasthitam navedayat sakaruno dukkhitan drashtum akshama.
Compassionate Mahatma Vidur could not stand to see the Pandavas distressed at any time. Therefore, he did not disclose this unpalatable and unbearable incident because calamities come of their own accord.
Okay, so he said Maharaj, Mahatma, he didn't disclose it because he didn't want to see the Pandavas distressed at any time. We say, hey, what is this? But they will be distressed anyway in due course of time, right? So better to disclose, right? Is it a good decision to not disclose and to hide or to postpone the suffering, right? What do you say? What do you feel? The right decision of Vidura? He would not like to see them distressed, right? So therefore, this news are very unpalatable and unbearable. Therefore, he didn't disclose. पता तो लग ही जाएगा वैसे भी. So why do not disclose now only? Pandavas would have left at that time only. Okay, but soon the news would be disclosed anyway. Okay, fine, this is not very convincing reason. Anyone else, why didn't he disclose? He didn't want Pandavas to suffer, become distressed, but they would anyway. You would anyway receive the news. Okay, you can delay their suffering. But it's a good idea to delay the suffering. Unpalatable truth should not be spoken. Prabhupada said, even if the truth is unpalatable, it should be spoken for the benefit of others. This line, so many times this has been there, that even if the truth is unpalatable, it should be spoken for the benefit of others. In this there is no benefit. In this there is no benefit. Okay, fine, this is unpalatable, but my point is, this truth can't be hidden also. Okay, so he doesn't want to see their suffering himself. Okay, so anyway, you get having some idea. Let's try to see what Prabhupada is saying. Right? According to Niti Shastra, one should not speak an unpalatable truth to cause distress to others. Right? First of all, one should not speak an unpalatable truth to cause distress to others, which doesn't have any benefit. Right? This is one aspect. But then, the distress comes upon us in its own way by the laws of nature. So, one should not aggravate it by propaganda. That is the first thing. Right? That one should not aggravate the distress by propaganda. Okay, so when see, look, Vidurji or Mahatma Vidur, he knows the tattva of dharma, right? Therefore, he has come, and it's mentioned they all are very joyful to receive him. You know, they're all very joyful to receive him, and he is telling them all about his various pilgrimage, you know. So he wants to make the Pandavas happy at that particular point of time by telling them about various stories of his pilgrimage, about his various experiences, you know. It's always very enlightening to hear, you know, when a person has a long pilgrimage, oh, what you do at each place, how many people you met, how were different kind of, you know, experiences, right? When some devotees come from some preaching tour which is a remote place, they come and show a slideshow or something, then everyone comes to the class, you know, those who don't usually come also, everyone comes to attend. And the class is full because people want to hear about various adventures, experiences, how Krishna consciousness, you know, how people practice Krishna consciousness at different places, etc., etc. So, at this point of time, he knows that Pandavas have suffered a lot. So, he wants to give them happiness by giving the news of his various pilgrimages. Right? So, he's enlightening them and entertaining them both. Vidurji, right? So, and they are very happy, very joyful. The movement is very joyful. So the dharma laws are very subtle, you know. So in this particular case, he didn't, Vidurji, who knows the tattva of dharma, he didn't consider it appropriate to unnecessarily make them suffer prematurely. Just take an example. Sometimes, you know, recently in my known place, one mother, she had left her body. She committed suicide, kind of, you know, some family issues, this and that. But the children were not informed. The children said, no, she just died, you know. There was some disease, something, she just died. So none of the children, either her own children and the other relatives' children, small children, were revealed the truth. Because they should not suffer prematurely. They may come to know anyway in due course of time. No? But then to cause premature suffering or extra propaganda causes this that one should not aggravate the suffering by propaganda. No? When someone undergoes a problem and so many people discuss about it, you know, that aggravates the suffering also. That's another context. That's what we are seeing from different perspectives. But Maharaj Mahatma Vidur didn't want the Pandavas to suffer prematurely. Rather, at this point of time, he considered that it's more important to make them enlightened and happy by telling various stories of his own experience. Right? So it was a very delightful experience they were all undergoing. He said, Mahatma Vidur, 35, break this news, they will only prematurely suffer. So it's not a good point in this particular case over here. But as I said, the laws of dharma are very subtle. Sometimes it may be important, right? If at certain point to break the news also and not delay if that may cause suffering to the citizens or some other consideration is there. But at this point, there is no other consideration. He just wants to make them happy. They all suffered a lot, all of these people, a long battle, you know. So he's giving them happiness in different ways and didn't consider proper to break the news. Right? So it's a very subtle thing. It's not like a black and white, should have done, should. So he understood as particular the whole situation and took that decision. Go to text 14. Kanchit kalam athavatse satkrito deva vatsukham Bhraturjeshthasya Shreyaskrit Sarvesham Sukhamavahan.
Thus Mahatma Vidur, being treated just like a godly person by his kinsmen, remained there for a certain period just to rectify the mentality of his eldest brother and in this way bring happiness to all the others.
Okay, so now the purpose of Vidura's coming to Hastinapur is being described. He has come to Hastinapur for these two purposes mentioned in the third and fourth line, text 14. Bhratur Jeshtasya Shreyaskrit. He came to do benefit, Shreya. And the Shreya word is very important. So for the Shreyakrit, he came of his elder brother. Then Sarvesham Sukhamavahan, and to bring happiness to all. So his purpose was this. So breaking this news doesn't serve his purpose. He said, I didn't come for that, you know. So it will not serve my purpose at all, this breaking the news. That's another reason. He has two purposes to be achieved over herein. And breaking the news of the disappearance of the Yadus doesn't serve his purpose. That's this another important reason why he didn't break the news. So Prabhupada says, commenting upon that, how Mahatma Vidur was Devavat, right? The second line, that he was treated like a Devavat, like a godly personality. So Prabhupada says that actually so many gods from heaven used to visit Maharaj Yudhishthir, right? So when he knew how to treat, you know, sometimes said he was treated like a god is treated, you know. But he said, but do you have experience of treating God anytime the God came to your house? He said, yes, Maharaj Yudhishthir, the gods from heaven were coming to his house. So he knew how to treat the gods of heaven. So therefore when it is mentioned that this is the God, that he treated him like God, it is a factual thing, you know. Someone says, oh, this tastes like nectar from the heaven. You ask, have you any time tasted anyway the nectar from heaven? Right, so person may not be able to surely, you know, said yeah, then that comparison is just like, you know, that you just want to compare. You may not have the experience factual. You may give a comparison, but you may not have the experience. But Prabhupada says that Maharaj Yudhishthir actually knew how to treat godly person. So therefore he treated Vidura just like he treated godly persons. But Prabhupada says, he raises the point that Mahatma Vidur already, he left and he took kind of vanaprastha, right? So why would he return all this and he's being treated like a god, right? He's accepting all this opulent worship and the comfortable living and the nice palatable foodstuffs. Yet he's just accepting it for the time being because he has these two purposes in mind, right? So just to serve this too, he is accepting this, but he said, after achieving all the instruction and on self-realization and one should become materially detached, he has come again to the opulent kingdom, right? Someone may ask, maybe Rajya mein kya karne aa gaye, you know. So therefore, you know, these two purposes are to be fulfilled. Therefore he has not come to accept all of this what is being offered, right? That is not his purpose. Okay, so Sarvesham Sukham Avahan. So Prabhupada relates the two. He says, Vidura particularly came to enlighten Dhritarashtra and to give him a lift. This is 7th or 8th last from the end, 7th or 8th line. Vidura particularly came to enlighten Dhritarashtra and to give him a lift to the higher status of spiritual cognition. It is the duty of enlightened souls to deliver the fallen ones, and Vidura came for that reason. Okay, so that is Bhartur Jeshtasya Shreyaskrit. Then, but talks of spiritual enlightenment are so refreshing that while instructing Dhritarashtra, Vidura attracted the attention of all the members of family and all of them took pleasure. Sarvesham sukham avahan. So while he came to enlighten one person, but then everyone else also was enlightened by him. Right? Because these talks benefit one and all. The talks of spiritual enlightenment are so refreshing, Prabhupada says. That's a beautiful phrase. So that everyone was refreshed by and enlightened by Vidurji. We go to text 15. Abhibhradarya madandam yathavad agakarishu yavad dadara shudratvam shapad varshashatam yama.
As long as Vidura played the part, being cursed by Manduka Muni, Aryama officiated at the post of Yamaraj to punish those who committed sinful acts.
Okay, so now this verse described that how Vidura was just playing the part of Shudra. Prabhupada saying that someone may question that Vidura is born in a Shudra family. How is that he is instructing the member of the royal heritage? He is taking the position of a preacher or an acharya and instructing Dhritarashtra and Maharaj Yudhishthir. Right? That question may be raised. So this verse answered that question, that he is just playing the part of a Shudra. Right? Otherwise he is one of the Mahajans. So Prabhupada says, first of all, the answer is in the fourth or fifth line. The first answer is that even though it is accepted that he was a Shudra by birth, because he renounced the world for spiritual enlightenment by the authority of Rishi Maitreya and was thoroughly educated by him in transcendental knowledge, he was quite competent to occupy the post of an Acharya. Right? Even in the merits of his current birth, his Prabhupada saying is qualified. Then skipping 5-6 lines, the other is the second reason Prabhupada gives, that why he is bona fide, he is authorized to act as an acharya in this case. The other is that Vidura was not actually a Shudra. He was to play the part of so-called Shudra for 100 years. Right? And Prabhupada gives, we know that how he was cursed by Manduk Muni, but that's external reason. Prabhupada gives a more in-depth reason. Prabhupada says, again if you skip 6-7 lines, now this is the kind of the middle of the purport. Thus Yamaraj has very little time to take leave from his responsible office of punishing the wrongdoers. Right? There are more wrongdoers than righteous men. Therefore, Yamaraj has to do more work than other demigods who are authorized agents of the Supreme Lord. But he wanted to preach the glories of the Lord, and therefore, by the will of the Lord, he was cursed by Manduk Muni to come into the world in the incarnation of Vidura. Right? So, within his heart, he was always, you know, tied up in this thankless job, and he within his heart he had the desire to preach the glories of the Lord. So Krishna facilitated in this way. Right? Sometimes devotees have some desire to read sometime more. You know, they are tied up with service. They have desired that they want to read more, and sometimes they fall sick, you know, and are hospitalized. It happens. Some devotees say, "Oh, actually I could read a lot in the hospital." You know. So actually, basically, all the curses actually become blessing when one turns one's face toward Krishna. Right? As soon as one turns one's face toward Krishna, then all the curses, they become blessing. Right? That means, for the devotees, there are no curses, no calamities and nothing inauspicious. Right? Because as soon as we turn our face toward Krishna, the curse becomes a blessing. Right? Even if it is a curse due to some past misdeed or anything, it could be any reason. It could be arranged by the Lord or arranged by the material energy. It could be anything. But as soon as one has turned his face toward Krishna, immediately the curse becomes a blessing. Right? Immediately inauspiciousness becomes supremely auspicious. And the calamity becomes opportunity, right, to serve Krishna. So the whole nature change, you know, it becomes just the opposite. So therefore, here in this case, he said that although it was a sharp, it was a curse, but it was a blessing for Vidurji. Right? The blessing for Vidurji. And he said it's true for any kind of curse. As soon as a person turns his face toward Krishna, it's all blessing. Right? Okay, we go to text 16. युधिष्ठिरो लब्धराज्यो दृष्ट्वा पौत्रं कुलंधरं भ्रातृभिर्लोकपालाभैर् मुमुदे परयाश्रिया.
Having won his kingdom and observed the birth of one grandson competent to continue the noble tradition of his family, Maharaj Yudhishthir regained peacefully and enjoyed uncommon opulence in cooperation with his younger brothers, who were all expert administrator to the common pupil.
Okay, so again, now the description of Maharaj Yudhishthira ruling is coming over here in, right? Bhratribhir Lokapalabhir, he along with his brothers, they all maintained and Mumude Parayashriya, right? They all had uncommon opulence by the mercy of the Lord. So, Prabhupada says in the purport, so after the settlement, the last 4 or 5 lines, so after the settlement of all disturbing conditions and re-establishment of the peaceful order of the state, and after seeing the surviving child, Parikshit, well satisfied, Maharaj Yudhishthir felt some relief as a human being. Okay, so here, they were all feeling great agony as we already described, but now they said they had a competent grandson, right, who would take their kingdom ahead, right, he would rule the citizens properly. So in this way, Maharaj Yudhishthira had some relief, Prabhupada saying, as a human being, right. They're just showing that how human emotions are always there, you know. The devotional service doesn't actually negate human emotions, you know. A yogi may not show any emotions, or, you know, even at the death of some relative, he may not show emotion and may seem to be advanced, while the devotees may cry or lament, right. But still the devotees are more advanced. Even though they may temporarily become overwhelmed, but they never forsake their service to Krishna. So therefore, Prabhupada is just putting here that he felt some relief as a human being in the purport. If you see the second, third, last line. We will go to text 17. Evam griheshu saktanam pramattanam tad ihaya अत्याक्रामद विज्ञात काला परम दुस्तरा.
Insurmountable eternal time imperceptibly overcomes those who are too much attached to family affairs and are always engrossed in their thoughts.
Okay, so now if you see the Maharaj Yudhishthira kingdom has been glorified, and suddenly now this verse is in eternal time imperceptibly overcomes those who are too attached to family affairs and always engrossed in their thoughts. Suddenly, if you see, there is a change in context. The last verse is spoken about Maharaj Yudhishthira. This verse is being spoken in the context of Dhritarashtra now. Right? The context is suddenly changing from text 16 and 17. Prabhupada puts nicely, I am now happy, I have everything in order, my bank balance is quite enough. I can now give my children enough estate. I am now successful. The poor beggar sannyasis depend upon God, but they come to beg from me. Therefore, I am more than the Supreme God. Right? So, these are some of the thoughts which grossly, which engross the insanely attached householder. Right? So Prabhupada says that such people, they, in the middle of the paragraph, saying such people become engrossed in temporary family affairs, not knowing that eternal time is passing away imperceptibly and that their measured duration of life is diminishing every second without any solution of the big problem. Right? This is called illusion. So there is one verse in Bhagavatam we describe that so hani stan mahachidram so moha such a vibrama, that is the greatest loss, that is the greatest illusion. What is the greatest illusion, what is the greatest loss in this world? The time which has passed without endeavoring for ultimate perfection of the life. So therefore this word is described, how the time is passing and people don't realize that they are being fooled, they are in total illusion, they are not doing anything to solve the problem of life. Right? This is the greatest illusion, the time which just passes away without any solution to the big problems, Prabhupada says in the paragraph. Right? And again Prabhupada says little above it, right, in the 7th or 8th line of the first paragraph, such valuable time, specially for the human being, should be cautiously spent, because even a second passed away imperceptibly cannot be replaced. Even in exchange of thousands of golden coins amassed by hard labor. This is a verse of Chanakya. Anyone knows this verse? That one second cannot be brought back by giving thousands of gold coins. This is from Chanakya. Ayushashana ekopi na labhyate swarna koti bhi. So you can't get a one shun of your life back by giving thousands and thousands of gold coins. Therefore, this is the greatest loss, you know, imperceptibly, that you are being befooled, you don't realize that how this valuable time is passing. Right? Like that. So it's an important verse. Kala parama dustara. These two qualities are mentioned in terms of Kala. You know, Kala is, first of all, it is inconceivable and it is insurmountable, two things. No one can conceive the passing of time, what it will bring. It's inconceivable and it's unsurmountable. This will come again and again whenever Kala is described. Okay, so now that from text 17, the context of Yudhishthira, the context of Dhritarashtra is beginning. Right? Vidurastadabhipretya Dhritarashtram abhashata Rajanirgammetam shigram Pashedam bhayamagatam.
Mahatma Vidur knew all this and therefore he addressed Dhritarashtra saying, my dear king, Please get out of here immediately. Do not delay. Just see how fear has overtaken you.
Okay, so if you see, Vidurji, he directly comes to the point. Rajan nirgamyatam shigram, he said, immediately get out of this palace, right? Without using any euphemistic words. Right? He is now directly tells him straight, there is no time now. Paschidam bhayam agatam. Very fearful time is approaching. He elaborates that. Right? And then Prabhupada says, in the middle of the purport, Vidura as a saint and as a duty-bound affectionate youngest brother of Dhritarashtra wanted to awaken Dhritarashtra from his slumber of disease and old age. Vidura therefore sarcastically addressed Dhritarashtra as king. He is saying Rajan, although he is no longer the king. Maharaj Yudhishthira is the king now. Right? But he is saying Rajan, still as a king. Right? So therefore he is sarcastically telling him, everyone is a servant of eternal time and therefore no one can be king in this material world. King means the person who can order. The celebrated English king wanted to order time and tide, but the time and tide refused to obey his order. Right? There is an English saying about time and tide. Time and tide wait for none. Is that? Huh? For no man. Yeah, time and tide wait for no man. Right? No one has control over them, basically. Okay, text 19. Pratikriyana yasseha kutaschit karhichit prabho saesha bhagavan kala sarvesham naha samagata.
A frightful situation cannot be remedied by any person in this material world. My Lord, it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead as eternal time, Kal, that has approached us all.
Okay, so you know, Dhritarashtra would always seek mantrana, you know, from guidance from Vidurji. So when Vidurji says, get out, this fearful time is approaching, a fearful situation is approaching, paschidam bhayam agatam. So Dhritarashtra may say, please suggest a solution to counter this fearful situation. Right? So Vidurji says, pati kriyana yasseha, there is no counter action. Right? There is no counter action to this fearful situation. It is the Supreme Lord in the form of his time, right, that has approached us all. And Prabhupada saying, there is no superior power which can check the cruel hands of death. And again, in the fourth line, Prabhupada is saying, old age is a notice of the arrival of death, served by cruel time. No one refused to accept either summon calls or the supreme judgment of eternal time. Right? No one can refuse. So, first of all, the time is being saying it's a Bhagavan Kala, the Supreme Lord comes. At the same time, Prabhupada is saying cruel time. How do you reconcile the two? With the Bhagavan Kala in the verse and Prabhupada in the purport calls a cruel time. See the fifth line. Why is the time cruel? Hey, Bhagavan. Pehle to Bhagavan keh diye, fir keh diye, cruel time. How is the time cruel? Or is the Lord cruel? Okay, so for, you are saying for non-devotees the time is cruel. For the non-devotees, but the time is the Supreme Lord still. Right? That is, okay, that is gives And anyone else wants to put in some other perspective? Cruelty of time is another. See, actually the cruel time is, Prabhupada is saying the cruel time, he is using the word. It is because this is how the time is perceived by materialistic people. It's not that Prabhupada is attributing cruelty to the time. He is using the common term. That's how the time is perceived in this world. You understand? Sometimes we use the terms which are referred by the common people, you know. Just like, you remember we said the Swarga, that example was given, that the Dwarka is even better than Swarga. I said, people is a common people notion that Swarga is very high, etc. But actually Prabhupada is not attributing the cruelty to time. This is how the time is perceived in this people or in this world by materialistic people. If time is perceived very cruel, right? Because it just brings the situation which many times no one wants, right? And which brings old age, death, which no one wants, right? But it brings. Therefore, it's perceived as cruel by many people. But at least it's eternal, and it is the energy of the Lord, or it's another form of the Lord described. And then Prabhupada saying, wherever there is the influence of eternal time, the last few lines, there is this set of tribulations, namely birth, disease, old age and death, and all of them are invincible. Therefore the time is perceived as cruel, you know. It brings the birth and it brings the disease, the old age, death, or the six transformations are brought, although no one wants them, you know. Text 20.
येन चैवाभि पन्नोयम् प्राणप्रियतमैरपि जनासद्यो वियुज्येत किमुतान्यर्धनादिभिः. However, is under the influence of supreme kala, eternal time, must surrender his most dear life. And what to speak other things, such as wealth, honor, children, land and home.
So, Dhritarashtra may say, first of all he said, fearful situation is approaching you, Dhritarashtra said, but any remedy? He said, no one can counter, because the Supreme Lord in the form of Kaal has approached. He said, what will this Kaal do to me, right? What will happen to me? He said, you will have to surrender everything, Vidura is saying in this verse, right? That this Kaal will make you surrender everything, including your dear life, what to speak of anything else. Therefore, the fearful situation is approaching you. And Prabhupada just gives some contemporary example. Maybe you can find out whom Prabhupada is referring to. He said, a great Indian scientist busy in the plan-making business was suddenly called by invincible eternal time while going to attend a very important meeting of the planning commission. Who is that scientist? You have to find out, long time back, you know, names are forgotten. This is 1960s. Homi Baba? Which year he? Acha, is it? Maybe, a great Indian scientist. He's referring to Homi Bhava. Homi Bhabha is the nuclear scientist, right? Whose name is Bhabha Atomic Research Center in Bombay. He was an atomic scientist. Okay. So, we go to text 21. Pitru Bhratra Surit Putra हतास्ते विगतं वयम् आत्मचार्याग्रस्ता Pargeham upasase.
Your father, brother, well-wishers and sons are all dead and passed away. You yourself have expended the major portion of your life. Your body is now overtaken by invalidity and you are living in the home of another.
Okay, so when Vidura says that you will have to surrender everything including your very life to the time which is approaching, so Dhritarashtra he says that, but I am attached to my life. Therefore Vidura is saying, for whose sake are you maintaining your life? Everyone, all of your relatives have died, right? Pitra, Bhratra, Surit, Putra, everyone has already died, right? And you have also become so old. For whose sake are you so attached? For whose sake are you maintaining this useless body? How come you are so attached? So now from verse 21 to 27, Vidura teaches renunciation to Dhritarashtra. Right? That you, for, there is no question of being attached to this useless body now. Right? There is no one for whose sake you were endeavoring and intriguing and so many things. Everyone is left now. How come you are so attached still? Right? So Vidura will speak very strongly this 7 verse in order to cut down all these attachments and bring renunciation within Dhritarashtra. Okay, which will continue after a break of 10 minutes. Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, 21-27, his instructions with us to bring in the renunciation, detachment in Dhritarashtra. Text 22. Andhapurev vadiro mandapragyascha sampratam vishinna danta mandagni saraga kafamudvahan.
You have been blind from your very birth and recently you have become hard of hearing. Your memory is shortened and your intelligence is disturbed. Your teeth are loose, your liver is defective and you are coughing up mucus.
Okay, so he's saying just see that what is the situation now. Andha pura hai, pehle se to aap andhe hai. Right? Said now, but you are also becoming manda, right? You have been anda, now you are still become so manda, right? Your memory is shortened and then you can't hear, you can't see, right? Then mandagni, your digestive fire has reduced. When the mandagni happens, what happens? Kaham udvahan, you all related. Kaph in the body increase a lot when there is mandagni. So all these things said, your body is now falling apart. How can you be still attached to this useless body? Right? So Prabhupada is saying the signs pointed out by Vidura in the body of Dhritarashtra were signs of apakshay or dwindling of the material body before the last stroke of death. Saints and sages like Vidura, this is the sixth last line, saints and sages like Vidura approach such foolish men to awaken them to the real situation. But they take such sadhus and saints as parasites of society and almost all of them refuse to hear the words of such sadhus and saints, although they welcome show bottle sadhus and so-called saints who can satisfy their senses. Vidura was not a sadhu to satisfy the ill-gotten sentiments of Dhritarashtra. Right? So Vidura is speaking, he is speaking the truth which is not very palatable to hear. Dhritarashtra, right? But then this is going to benefit him. This is required. Okay. Om Mahiyasi Jantor Jivitasha Yatha Bhavan Bhima Pavarjitam Pindam Adatte Grahapalavat.
Alas, how powerful are the hopes of a living being to continue his life. Verily, you are living just like a household dog and are eating remnants of food given by Bhima.
Okay, so he's saying, oh, how astonishing is it that you have such hopes for living, jivitasha, right? I am astonished that you have this such hope for continually living. I am surprised at that. Although you have just become like a household dog, and you are eating remnants given by Bhima, right? So Prabhupada thinks that Bhima is mentioned. This is 6th-7th line of the purport. Bhima specially is mentioned because personally he killed two prominent sons of Dhritarashtra, namely Duryodhana and Dushasan. These two sons were very dear to him for their notorious and nefarious activities. Right? So he is kind of shaking him up. Right? So therefore Prabhupada says in the beginning of purport, a sadhu should never flatter kings or rich men to live comfortably at their cost. A sadhu is to speak to the householders about the naked truth of life. Right? That even many times, like, we have this consideration, you know, how palatable the truth will be, etc. And we may never land up speaking certain truths to some people. Right? But there is a consideration, okay, he is a beginner, he may not be given everything in the... But still, one has to bring ultimately every person to hear the truth, right? Otherwise then we may not help him. Like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to say, he would say, tell them, those who do not engage in Hari Bhajan, that they are most foolish and the butchers of their own souls. And he would say, you should speak this truth. So in this way Prabhupada is saying that a sadhu is meant to speak the naked truth of life, right? And especially he is bringing the name of Bhima, Vidurji, to tell him that in very strong words that you have become like a dog. And then this is another important point: how powerful is the urge to continue life? That even though he has been humiliated, you know, he's living a very degraded life, you know, but still just to continue living. He doesn't see what situation he is living in. Right? He is taking the remnants being maintained by those whom he tried to torture or who have killed their own sons now. Right? So like it's a very condemned life he is living. So Vidura is trying to shake him up. Right? And he said, oh, how powerful is the urge to continue life, jivitasha. Right? So this is, you know, the more powerful than or the more binding than the material enjoyment is the hope for material enjoyment. You know, a person may not get material enjoyment. His body may not support material enjoyment. But still a person continues to hope for material enjoyment. The asha to enjoy is even much more binding than actual the material enjoyment, you know. The conditioned soul doesn't give up, right? The body doesn't support. He's become old now. Still, in the old days, so many elderly people, you know, they see that the body doesn't support, there are no practically facilities now for their enjoyment. But they do not give up this asha, this hope for enjoyment. This hope for enjoyment keep people perpetually binded to this material world. Okay? So he wants to break his hope by bringing in renunciation. He said, trying to cut down that hope of enjoyment. Okay? And Prabhupada says toward the end, this is the fifth last line, a sadhu like Vidura is meant to awaken such blind persons. Right? So actually this hope to enjoy makes a person blind. And then he fails to take note of the evacuation notice. You know, if someone has to ask to vacate some place, right, then 1 month notice has to be given. It's the rule. So therefore, even when this old age, when there are so many, one by one is getting so many diseases, these all notices coming that you will have to soon vacate. right? So some time before, so this old age is a notice the sent by the Yamaraj or whatever, you know, that you'll have to vacate. But he didn't take care of the notice, you know, so therefore Yamaraj came personally to shake him up. Right? So Yamaraj sent notices everyone that soon you will have to vacate this body, this quarter, living quarter. But Dhritarashtra somehow was in so blind because his asha, through the desire to enjoy, the hope to enjoy was so strong, he failed to take care of take notice of any of the notice which is sent to him. Therefore now Vidura personally, he is being shook. Prabhupada says, we can just imagine how responsible a task is entrusted to a sadhu like Mahatma Vidura. Guru text 24. Agnir nishrashto dattascha garodarascha dushita ritam kshetram dhanam yesham tadattairashubhikiyat.
There is no need to live a degraded life and subsist on the charity of those whom you tried to kill by arson and poisoning. He also insulted one of their wives and absorbed their kingdom and wealth.
Okay, so he said, you should not live such a condemned life. Prabhupada says in this fifth line of the purport, Vidura wanted to point this out and he wanted to impress upon him that it was better to die like his sons than accept such humiliating charity. 5,000 years ago there was one Dhritarashtra, but at the present moment there are Dhritarashtras in every home. Okay. And Prabhupada says that many Vidras are needed to educate such Dhritarashtras at the present moment. Okay. There is absolute need, Prabhupada says. Text 25. तस्यापि तव देहोयम् कृपणस्याज जीविशो परायते अनिच्छतो जीर्णो जरयावाससि इव.
Despite your unwillingness to die and your desire to live even at the cost of honor and prestige, your miserly body will certainly dwindle and detroit like an old garment.
So Prabhupada mainly talks about the word kripanasya. Right? Prabhupada says the word kripanasya, jiji vishu, are significant. There are two classes of men, one is called the Kripana and other is called Brahmana. Dhritarashtra is addressed herein as Kripana because without any estimation of his material body he wants to live at any cost. So actually the word Kripana is used here. Who is the Kripana? In general, who is the Kripana? One who does not utilize his wealth, in general, Kripana, right? So those who are attached to their material wealth or material body, those who do not give it to others and do not even utilize for any good purpose, right? So they are overly attached to their material body or material wealth, they never give it to others, and they themselves never put it to any good use. They are Kripanas. Okay. So therefore he is saying that you are here, Kripana refers that you are overly attached to your body. Right? And now everything is almost lost. Whatever time is remaining this body, use it for some good purpose. You know, this material body, those who don't use even this material body for any good purpose, they are also Kripanas. So he is trying to shake him up. Prabhupada saying in the last three or four lines, such a life of a is called miserly because one cannot properly utilize the assets of human form of life. Right? It's like a wealth, human body, human form is also asset. Only by good luck does such a miserly person meet a self-realized soul like Vidura and by his instruction get rid of the nescience of material existence. Text 26. Gat swartham imam deham virakto mukta bandhana avigyad gatir jahyat savedhi rudahrita.
It's called undisturbed, who goes to an unknown, remote place and freed from all obligations, quits his material body when it has become useless.
Okay, so Vishwanath Thakur says, he is wise who gives up this body which has not been used to worship Krishna, gat swartha, or which has been only used for one's own swarth, swartha, and not been used to worship Krishna. But one should give up such a body at some holy place while practicing bhakti. Gata swartham imam deham virakto mukta bandhana. So, when actually the body become unfit for Krishna's service, one should start preparing to give it up by not trying very hard to maintain or prolong it. Right? This is one, this is an important principle we pointed out, that there is an instance, you know, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had fallen sick and the doctor came and examined all that, that your heart has become weak, you should stop speaking and then you can live longer. If you continue speaking, you will die very soon. He said, if we cannot speak about Krishna, then why to maintain one's body anyway? You know, very important principle. That if the body finally is becoming useless for Krishna's service, then why should a person spend so much effort to maintain it? It cannot be used for Krishna's service. Right? It's an important principle. That means at certain point of time, then one should, at old age, one should start preparing, one should mentally prepare himself to give up the body, which becomes useless to serve Krishna. Right? Sanatana Goswami, when he got so many sores on his body, right? He said, now my body has practically useless for Krishna's service. Right? I should better give it up. He had that thought because it's enjoined in the Vedas. But the Lord said, no, there are still so many things I have to do through your body. So the Lord again rejuvenated his body, right? Made it very nicely fit and fine, right? By his own touch. He said, I have to accomplish so many tasks through your body. Right? But the principle comes there that if the body cannot be used for Krishna's service, why maintain it for so long? Right? One should prepare to... Therefore, Vidura is telling that this body is becoming useless. Now, don't try to prolong it by staying and have all these comforts. Go out now. Right? Prepare to quit the body and become a dhira. He is asking him here, sarva dhira udharita. Try to become free from mukta bandhana. Try to be free from the obligations. That person is a dhira. So he is urging him that he should become a dhira. Right? Prabhupada is saying in the purport, middle of the purport, dhira means one who is not disturbed even when there is sufficient provocation. One cannot give up a comfortable family life due to his affectionate relationship with wife and children. Self-realization is obstructed by such undue affection for family. And if anyone is at all able to forget such a relation, he is undisturbed or dhira. Prabhupada gives some next. He says, this is, however, the path of renunciation based on frustrated life. But stabilization of such renunciation is possible only by association with bona fide saints and selfless soul, by which one can engage in the loving service of the Lord. Right? So he said, even a person is forcing that there is nothing for you to stay here, you know. There is no hope for you to stay here. So give it up. Right? He's asking you to give it and become a dhira. But Prabhupada is saying, this kind of person who may give it up also, his life will be stabilized later when he associates with saints and saintly person and practice devotional service. Right? That's a higher stage which is indicated in the next verse. Yasukat paratoveha jata nirveda atmavan vidhi kritva harim gehat pravrajet sanaruttama.
He is certainly a first-class man who awakens and understands, either by himself or from others, the falsity and misery of this material world, and thus leaves home and depends fully on personality of Godhead residing within his heart.
Okay, so here he describes Narottama, which is the higher, which Prabhupada describes in the toward the end of the purport. That the dhira doesn't have a stable spiritual life, right? But a Narottama is a person who has a stable life of renunciation, which is possible by association with saints and selfless soul. Right? That is, so there Prabhupada in those lines is pointing out to Narottama, which is described in the next verse, text 27. Right? Yo sokat parato veha, right? Either so or para. Who awakens and understands either by himself or for others. These two words are used by Maharaj Prahlad Maharaj also. Matirna Krishne Parato Satova. And also Sokat and Parato, the same words. Said those are two attached. For them, their Mati toward Krishna doesn't go by their own endeavors or by the endeavors of others. But here he said, but here a person is a Narottama if by his own endeavor or by endeavor of others he can understand the falsity of this material world, and then he may depend fully, hridi kritva harim gehat, he may fully depend upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So, Vishwanath Thakur says, the best of men prepares his remedy before old age. He develops discrimination just as a merchant turns his heart towards money, a devotee turns his heart towards Krishna. Right? Narottama. So Prabhupada says there are three classes of transcendentalists, namely the dhira, one who is not disturbed by being away from family association. Second is one who is in the renounced order of life, a sannyasi, by frustrated sentiment. And third, a sincere devotee of the Lord who awakens God consciousness by hearing and chanting and leaves home depending completely on the personality of Godhead who resides in his... The technical term for these three transcendentalists? Yeah, there are three... So here Prabhupada is putting in the prose form, but he says, Dhira is one who is not disturbed by being away from family association. He is a yogi who goes away in the forest. Then he is saying second kind of transcendentalist in the renounced order, a sannyasi by frustrated sentiment. Right? He is frustrated by all in this material world. Right? Therefore, he is a jnani who tries to see that I have nothing to do with this world and nothing to do with the material names and forms, you know. So he is frustrated by all these material names, forms, activities, etc. And third is a bhakta. First transcendentalist Prabhupada refers to yogi, second jnani, third is a bhakta. A sincere devotee is the Lord who awakens God consciousness. Right? So then Prabhupada says, one may live in the darkest jungle alone, out of home, but a steadfast devotee knows very well that he is not alone. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is with him and he can protect his sincere devotee in any awkward circumstance. One should therefore practice devotional service at home Hey, what is this? You said Prabhupada first is saying that if one is in the alone, but he will be protected by the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the conclusion is one should practice devotion service at home. You see, there is a Prabhupada, first of all, he says that one may live in the darkest jungle. He has no fear. Krishna will protect him. Therefore, one should practice devotion service at home. He said, you know. The first Prabhupada talks about yogi. Yogi may go anywhere, he should have belief that, right? But he thinks, but actually better that one in the modern context, modern times, you know, but that it's better that one practice devotional service at home, hearing and chanting the holy names quality, right? So the conclusion is for the modern day people, right? Sometimes it just looks striking different, but the conclusion Prabhupada is coming to the right. And the yogi should have that faith, Krishna will protect me. But the best is actually become a bhakta and one can hear and chant. Sthane sita ashuti katam. That one may not always change his circumstance, but one can practice devotional service at home. Right? But that conclusion is not being drawn for Dhritarashtra. That is, Prabhupada is giving that conclusion for his audience. Keeping an audience in mind for whom he is writing. For Dhritarashtra, Vidura is saying, get out of the palace, become a dhira. Like that.
Atho dichim disham yatu swairagyad gatir bhavan itoravak prayasha kala
Please therefore leave for the north immediately without letting your relatives know, for soon that time will approach which will diminish the good qualities of men.
Okay, so this is another important verse. He said, please immediately therefore leave for north. Right? At udichim disham yatu swair agyad. Said, you immediately leave. Now I see that you are developing some detachment. That time is soon coming when which will diminish all good qualities of men. You know? So, the Vidura knew that if now there is some detachment coming, he should take the decision immediately, right? If he delays, then the time will destroy all the good qualities. His discrimination which is now coming will again wane, right? Will again be destroyed, and right? Therefore saying that you should hurry up, right? That the influence of my valuable instruction may soon fade away. Vidura is also having that fear. Therefore, he's saying, soon you should leave before that time comes when the influence of my instruction, right, the effect, the efficacy of my instruction will also fade away, right, because of the effect of time. So, you know, when the preacher is also preaching, they're trying to give him a book and person says, okay, tomorrow I'll bring money. He said, no, money you can give tomorrow, no problem, you know. Take the book. You know, because you have got the desire to take book, as soon as you go home, that desire will go away, you know. So we should have to push, you know, as soon as there is some good desire awakening, just take the decision now, because as soon as you are away, you know, you will you will lose that desire, you know. It's the nature of the effect of this time actually. So therefore Vidura is saying, get out immediately. So Dhritarashtra was advised by Vidura. This is a little toward the middle of the purport. Little ahead of the second half of the purport. Dhritarashtra was advised by Vidura at least to become a dhira in the beginning, if it were impossible for him to become a sannyasi or a narottama. So he is pushing him to become indifferent to his material body, just go out. Okay, so the instruction of Vidura end over here. Text 29. Evam Raja एवं राजा विदुरान नानुजेन राजा विदुरान प्रज्ञा चक्षुर्बोधिता अजामिडा चित्वासनेषु स्नेहपाशान् दृढामिनो निश्चक्राम भ्रातर संदर्शिताध्वा
महाराष्ट्र धृतराष्ट्र द सेशन ऑफ द फैमिली ऑफ अजिमिधा फर्मली कन्विंस्ड बाय इंट्रोस्पेक्टिव नॉलेज प्रज्ञा broke at once the strong network of familial affection by his resolute determination. Thus, he immediately left home to set out the path of liberation as directed by his younger brother Vidura.
Okay, so Prabhupada glorifies the movement association with the pure devotees in the purport. Right? So here, although Prabhupada says in the last purport that although this dhira stage is achieved after long practice of yoga system, but by the grace of Vidura he immediately attained it. Right? That is the advantage of the movement association with the pure devotee. And Prabhupada recounts his own personal experience which makes his purport even very sweet. Prabhupada says, we are not ashamed to admit this fact. We are not ashamed to admit that this fact was experienced in our practical life. Right? Were we not favored by His Divine Grace, Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, by our first meeting for a few minutes only, it would have been impossible for us to accept this mighty task of describing Srimad Bhagavatam in English. Without seeing Him at that opportune moment, we could have become a very great business magnate, but never would we have been able to walk the path of liberation and be engaged in the factual service of the Lord under the instruction of His Divine Grace. Right. So, this is the effect of the movement association of a pure devotee. Right. We'll go to text 30. Patim prayantam subalasya putri पतिव्रता चानुजगाम साध्वी हिमालयं निस्तुदंड प्रहर्षम् नस्तुदंड मनस्विनामिव सत संप्रहार
The gentle and chaste Gandhari, who was daughter of the king Subal of Gandhar or Gandhar, followed her husband seeing that he was going to Himalaya mountains, which are the delight of those who have accepted the staff of the renounced order like fighters who have accepted a good lashing from the enemy.
What is this analogy? Gentle and chaste Gandhari, who was the daughter of King of Subal of Gandhar, followed her husband seeing that he was going to Himalaya mountains, which are delight of those who have accepted the staff of renounced order. So Gandhari followed her husband going to Himalaya mountains. These Himalaya mountains are a delight of those who accepted the staff of the renounced order. Right? Himalayan nast danda praharsham. Those they have accepted a danda, right? The staff is the danda of the renounced order. The Himalayas are the delight, like fighters who have accepted a good lashing from the enemy. What is this analogy? They rejoice. Basically, the fighters, the great fighters, when they get a good opponent, you know, they rejoice when they get a good opponent. Similarly, Vishwanath Thakur says, similarly, hardships create joy in those who have great enthusiasm for self-realization. Right? So there are very hardships. The Himalayas, they will be living a life of hardships. But it is a joy for those who have an enthusiasm for achieving the ultimate perfection of life. Right? It's an important point actually. many times people may complain, oh, there are this hardship, that hardship, you know. But he said, this hardship is a source of joy for those who have enthusiasm for on the path of self-realization. Right? This hardship will create joy for them. That's an important point. So saintly person should not mind hardships in life. Right? It should create joy. If we're not creating joy, that means we are losing the enthusiasm, right? To go ahead on this path back home, back to Godhead, you know. It's quite beautiful analogy given, you know. And then commenting upon that just dandam, Prabhupada says, the ek dandi swamis, last five lines, the ek dandi sannyasis, swamis are mostly fond of Himalayas, but the Vaishnava sannyasis are fond of Vrindavan and Puri. The Vaishnava sannyasis are Narottamas, whereas the Mayavadi sannyasis are Dhiras. Maharaj Dhrishtarashtra was advised to follow the Dhiras, because at that stage it was difficult for him to become a Narottama.
अजात शत्रु कृत मैत्र हुताग्ने विप्राण नत्वा तिलगो भूमि रुक्मे गृहं प्रविष्टो गुरु वंदनाया नचा पश्यत पितरो सौबलिं च.
Maharaj Yudhishthir, whose envy was never born, performed his daily morning duties by praying, offering fire sacrifice to the sun god, and offering obeisances, grains, cows, land, and gold to the brahmanas. He then entered the palace to pay respects to the elderly. However, he could not find his uncles or aunt, the daughter of King Subala.
Okay, so first of all, Prabhupada described that how Maharaj Yudhishthir was a very pious householder for his activities of for his various activities, performing sacrifice, offering respects and prayers, you know. Then Prabhupada says he contrasts them with modern householders. First of all, he described the activities of Maharaj Yudhishthir, right? Who would rise early in the morning, take bath, offer respect to deities. He would offer fire sacrifice, charity to the brahmanas, right? And then he would offer respect to the elderly members. Right? These were daily activities. And modern householders are practiced to different modes of life, namely to rise late and then take bad tea without any sort of cleanliness and without any purificatory practices. And Prabhupada gives a contrast of Maharaj Yudhishthir's life and modern day life. Right. And he didn't see his na cha apashyat pitarau. Pitarau is that his two uncles, right? Pitarau is in the, there is singular form, there is plural form, but there is a in form that where it refers to two persons. Right. So Pitarau, he didn't see both Vidura and Dhritarashtra when he came to the palace. Both had left. Pitarau, Sankirtanayaka Pitarau, Mahaprabhu and Nityanand Prabhu they are the fathers of Sankirtan, there the word Pitarau comes, both of them are fathers.
Tatra Sanjayam Asinam, Prapachyodvignamanasa, Gavalgane Kunastato Vriddho Hinascha Netrayo.
Maharaj Yudhishthir, full of anxiety, turned to Sanjay, who was sitting there, and said, "Oh Sanjay, where is our uncle who is old and blind?"
33. Ambajahat Putrartha.
Mitruvyako gata suhret. Api mayakrita pragye. Hat bandhu sabharya. Ashamshamana shamalam. Gangayam dukkhito patat.
There is my well-wisher, Uncle Vidur and Mother Gandhari, who is very afflicted due to all her son's demise. My Uncle Dhritarashtra was also very mortified due to the death of all his sons and grandsons. Undoubtedly, I am very ungrateful. Did he therefore take my offenses very seriously and along with his wife drown himself in the Ganges?
See the thought process of Maharaj Yudhishthira. Maharaj Yudhishthira was only thinking of their pain, that oh, they have lost their sons, you know, and all the relatives. And Prabhupada described in the middle of the purport, Maharaj Yudhishthira thought himself ungrateful because when the Pandavas were fatherless, Maharaj Dhritarashtra had given them all royal facilities to live, and in return he had killed all Dhritarashtra's sons in the battle of Kurukshetra. Right? Prabhupada saying the last three lines of the purport, that is the nature of a good man and devotee of the Lord. A devotee never finds fault with others but tries to find his own and thus rectify them as far as possible. So Maharaj Yudhishthira, he didn't take into account all the unfavorable misdeeds, right? So many sufferings which they afflicted, Dhritarashtra and party they afflicted, but he didn't count it all. He just thought, oh, but at least he gave them, you know, he favored us when we were child. He protected us, gave us all facilities. But actually he was always trying to kill. But Maharaj Yudhishthira just seeing something good even amidst of the ocean of faults, you know. He thinks something good, that is the nature of Maharaj Yudhishthira. He thinks at least he gave us a facility, royal facilities, protected us, you know. So, now he has taken my offense so that we have offended him by killing all the sons in return. He took my offense so seriously, Maharaj Yudhishthira is thinking. Right? Then, Asamshamana, he said, he's thinking that what did my uncle thought, right? Why did he leave, right? So he is thinking, did Dhritarashtra thought that why should I leave when Yudhishthira did not leave even one of my sons, Asamshimana. He thinking that what came to his mind. He is thinking, Maharaj Yudhishthira trying to think, what must have come to the mind of Dhritarashtra, that did he think that why should I leave when Yudhishthira did not leave even one of my sons, or did he think that let Yudhishthira also have the sin of killing me too? Did he think like that? Right? So Yudhishthira Maharaj's thought process is only in the direction that, oh, what offense of ours he thought he took very seriously. Right? So that is his benevolent, you know, thinking. He shows his nature as a great devotee of the Lord. Pitari uparate pando sarvanna suhrida shishun arakshatam vyasanata pitravayoko gata ita.
When my father Pandu fell down and we were all small children, these two uncles gave us protection from all kinds of calamities. They were always our good well-wishers. Alas, where have they gone from here?
This way Maharaj Yudhishthira is lamenting. Suta uvacha kripayasneha vaklavyat suto virahakarshita Atmeshwaram achakshano na pratyahati pidita
Sut Goswami said, because of compassion and mental exertion, Sanjay not having seen his own master, Dhritarashtra was aggrieved and could not properly reply to Maharaj Yudhishthira.
So Sanjay was also overwhelmed, and he was aggrieved that his master Dhritarashtra had left. He thought, what will become of these two without protection? Right? He was thinking. So, Prabhupada says, Sanjaya, or he studied the situation in his own way because he did not know that the inner vision of Dhritarashtra has been awakened by Vidura, and that therefore he had left home in enthusiastic cheerfulness for a better life after departure from the dark well of home. So he said, Sanjay is overwhelmed with grief because he didn't know that Dhritarashtra, he left home in enthusiastic cheerfulness for a better life. Vimrajya Shrunipani Bhyam Vishtabhya Atmanam Atmana Ajatashatrum Pratyuche Prabhu Padavanusmaran.
First he slowly pacified his mind by intelligence and wiping away his tears and thinking of the feet of his master Dhritarashtra, he began to reply to Maharaj Yudhishthira.
Okay, so he thought about Prabhupadav Anusmaran. You see the word Prabhupadav comes. So for him, he is thinking of the feet of Dhritarashtra, his master. You know. So you see, Vedic lifestyle, there are many consideration and perspective. Although Sanjaya, he didn't give up the service of his master. You know, he remained faithful. That quality is glorified. He remained faithful because his master maintained him. Right? Although he is not in support of his wicked plan, but still he didn't give up his service. You know, that kind of quality is not found nowadays, you know. A wife may not be supportive of her husband, you know, in that sense her husband may not be a devotee, atheist and all that. She may not fully support him, but still she may not discontinue her service to him also. You know, that kind of examples are found in the Vedic culture only. Right? So here, Sanjay is not a part of his wicked plan, but still he considered him to be his master. He didn't give up his faithful service to the master, you know. So that chastity in terms of his occupational duty is still there, which is very rarely found. Sanjaya Uvacha Naham Veda Vavasitam Pitrorvakulanandana Gandharyava Mahabaho Mushitosmi Mahatmabhi.
Sanjay said, my dear descendant of Kuru dynasty, I have no information of the determination of your two uncles and Gandhari. O king, I have been cheated by those great souls.
Okay, Mushitosmi Mahatmabhi, this is something very important, and Prabhupada has given a brilliant purpose. That great souls cheat other may be astonishing to know, but it is a fact that great souls cheat others for a great cause. Right? So Prabhupada said, Yudhishthira Maharaj was advised by Krishna to tell a lie before Dronacharya, and it was also for a great cause. Sanatana Goswami cheated the keeper of the prison. Right? That was also for a great cause. Raghunath Das Goswami also cheated his priest Balram Acharya and left home to satisfy the Lord. Right? And that was also a great cause. So in this way, Prabhupada gives these three examples to show that great souls cheat others for a great cause. If someone asks Prabhupada asks his devotees, am I crooked or simple? How can we call Prabhupada crooked? He said, Prabhupada, you are very simple. Prabhupada said, no, I am crooked. I cheated you all. You know, I tricked you all and brought you all to Krishna's lotus feet, you know. And Prabhupada said, we also had the same opportunity to cheat the family members, Prabhupada described while writing first canto. That we also had the opportunity to cheat the family members and leave home to engage in the service of Srimad Bhagavatam. Such cheating was necessary for a great cause, and there is no loss for any party in such transcendental fraud. Transcendental fraud, a very beautiful purport Prabhupada gives. Right? The family member thought he is just going for the mother business excursion, you know. He will be back. Prabhupada never returned back. So the four example Prabhupada gives, that how great souls cheat other for great cause. Atha jagam Bhagavan Narada sahatumburu pratyuthaya pratyuthaya abhivadyaha sanujo abhyacharan munim.
While Sanjaya was thus speaking, Sri Narada, the powerful devotee of Lord, appeared on the scene carrying his tamburu. Maharaj Yudhishthira and his brothers received him properly by getting up from their seats and offering obeisances.
So, Pupa says, personalities like Narada are very dear to the Lord, for they are always preaching His glories. Many Prabhupada describe that in the purport, and Maharaj Yudhishthira receives him very well. Yudhishthira uvacha, naham vedgatim pitror, Bhagavan ko gatau ita, ambavahat putrartha, ko gata cha tapasvini.
Maharaj Yudhishthira said, O godly personality, I do not know where my two uncles have gone, nor can I find my ascetic aunt who is grief-stricken by the loss of all her sons.
Okay, so Maharaj Yudhishthira inquires from him, right? Narada, he is a transcendental spaceman and he knows everything. So he said, Ko gata cha tapasvini, where is my uncle and my aunt who was a tapasvini gone? And Prabhupada comments on the word tapasvini, an ascetic is never disturbed by all kind of suffering. And that makes him strong and determined on the path of spiritual progress. Queen Gandhari is a typical example of an ascetic because of her marvelous character in many trying situations. She was an ideal woman as a mother, wife and ascetic. And in the history of the world, such character in a woman is rarely found. And many places Prabhupada glorify Gandhari. Vishnu Maharaj continues and we will end with this verse, text 40th. Then from 41 Narada Muni will speak. Kandhar ivapare Bhagavan paradarshaka Atmabhase Bhagavan Narado Muni Sattama.
You are like a captain of a ship in a great ocean, and you can direct us to our destination. Thus address the godly personality Devrishi Narad, greatest of the philosopher devotees, began to speak.
Okay, so you say, Maharaj, you are Karnadhara, you are captain of a ship. And he says, but I am drowning in the ocean of grief. Right? I am drowning in the ocean of grief. Please rescue me. Since you are expert captain, please rescue me from this ocean by giving the news of the whereabouts. Right? I am very much agitated in my mind. Right? So, and then Narada, he began to speak. Narada is mentioned as Muni Sattama. Prabhupada said there are many kind of Muni or philosophers, but the greatest of all of them are those who have seen the personality of Godhead and have surrendered themselves in transcendental loving service of the Lord. Among all such pure devotees of the Lord, Devrishi Narada is the chief. and therefore is Muni Sattama. Jai Granthra Srimad Bhagatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Hare Krishna.